As we come to the Word, let us unite our hearts together once more in prayer, seeking the help of the Lord as we come to His own Word. Our Father, we can say that we have committed our souls unto Thee as unto a faithful Creator. And we know that as for God, His way is perfect. And we do thank Thee for the way of Thy truth. We praise Thee for the light of the Word that shines on our path. And we truly have a more perfect word of prophecy that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Lord, as the darkness of the age deepens, as godlessness abounds, we have Thy truth, and we pray that Thou wilt help us to count Thy word to be better to us than thousands of gold and silver. O come, Lord, and breathe upon us in the Scriptures now. Let the word live. May it be written with a pen of iron in all of our hearts, so that we will eternally profit from Thy truth. Breathe upon us by Thy Spirit. Break to us the bread of life. Lord, direct our way, our thoughts, our hearts, by Thy precious word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We will turn to Zechariah chapter 4. And in verse 10, the question is asked, who hath despised the day of small things? Who hath despised the day of small things? The exiles who had returned from Babylon to Jerusalem, they faced numerous difficulties. They were few in number. They had scant and meager resources from which to rebuild the temple, the house of God. The first steps taken in the reconstruction work seemed futile, insignificant, and bound ultimately to fail. It was a day of small things, and many reasoned that it would all come to nothing. Though the foundation was laid, there were those who maintained that little more would be added to the structure. So discouragement, despondency, was on every hand. It was in every heart. We too have the tendency to frown on the insignificant. That which is large, growing, expanding, impresses us. We have adopted the ideology, big is beautiful. The small family store has been crushed by the consumer's desire for the supermarket, the hypermarket. Today, men build bigger and better roads, bigger and better aircraft. We are fascinated by that which is huge. It was a day of small things in Zechariah's time. And the same must be said of the Lord's work in our generation. There are few giant strides taken in the Lord's work today. There are few branches in the Lord's vineyard in our time that run over the wall. There are not many sheaves being gathered into the gospel garner. The powers that be ride roughshod over the things that are right. God's truth, the light of the Word, is disregarded. So like Zechariah and Zerubbabel, we are in a day of small things. But the Lord had this word for His people, and it is applicable to ourselves. We will look at our text in three ways. First of all, noticing the contempt of the day of small things. The text asks, who hath despised the day of small things? The word despised reflects an attitude of contempt. In other words, there were those who were despising what was happening before their eyes. Here is a state of mind which views a situation, a circumstance, and counts it of little importance, little value. The people looked on those tentative steps taken to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and their hearts failed them. They said to themselves, what's the use? Wringing their hands in despair, they were saying, this is a waste of time, of effort, and of energy. The foundation of the temple was so insignificant in the eyes of these Jews who had looked at the glory of the original building, that they wept with a loud voice over the comparison. It's so far short that it will come to nothing, they reasoned. And their enemies poked fun at their efforts too. In Nehemiah chapter 4, and those opening verses of the chapter, it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall of Jerusalem, he was wroth and took a great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of the rubbish which are burned? What are these feeble Jews doing in attempting to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem? And alongside Sanballat and his tirade, there came Tobiah the Ammonite, verse 3. He said, even that which they build, if a fox should even brush its tail alongside what they're building, he shall even break down their stone wall. And so Sanballat and Tobiah united in despising the Lord's work. Friend and foe, they looked on it as a day of small things. God's people were discouraged at their feeble efforts and the seemingly insurmountable obstacles, and the enemy was gloating over their apparent weakness. All were despising the day of small things. And that's a prevailing tendency with us. We're apt to lose heart, to be discouraged, to let our hands hang down in despair when the fruit of all our efforts amounts to little in our estimation. Also, when our field of service is restricted, we tend to frown upon it. D.L. Moody conducting a Sunday afternoon meeting. He noticed a Sunday school teacher present in the service that ought to have been conducting her Sunday school class at that moment. Afterwards, Mr. Moody asked the Sunday school teacher what had happened. "Oh," she said, "I went to my room and found only one little boy. And so I came away." "Only a little boy," said Moody. "Think of the value of one such soul. The fires of a reformation may be slumbering in his heart. There may be a Luther, there may be a Knox, a Wesley, a Whitfield in your class." We have a contempt for the day of small things, and that ought not to be the case. God does not despise the day of small things. Think of God's hand in nature. From the tiniest seed, God brings out the flower, clothed with a beauty superior to the king's refinery. From the little acorn, God causes the mighty oak to grow. The fast-flowing river, full of water from bank to bank, at its commencement, it's just a tiny trickle. In many periods of history in the work of God, it has been a day of small things. Look back to the days of Noah. How many were in the ark? How many were saved from the flood? Think of Abraham. Think of Elijah. Elijah said, I only am left. He felt that he was the only one who was standing for God. All the true worshippers of God were so few as to be signs and wonders in the age and in the nation in which they lived. When the Lord exercised his earthly ministry, the numbers of his disciples were no more than 120. And even now, they are few in comparison with those who serve Mammon. They are a little flock who walk in a narrow way, an unfrequent path. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, the Lord said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." God does not despise the day of small things. There will always be a remnant of his people on the face of the earth. And we know how God used little things. Wasn't it the tears of baby Moses that moved the heart of Pharaoh's daughter to pluck him out from among the bulrushes? Didn't God use the sling in the hand of the shepherd boy to bring down the mighty Goliath? And Samson, with the jawbone of an ass, he slew 1,000 of the Philistines. And who did the Lord take up to take the gospel to the nations? The unlearned and the unlettered fishermen, they were used to take the gospel to the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 shows us who God uses, those whom God uses. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 28, ye see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Far from despising, God uses small things. We ought not to frown on the day of small things, but look at the potential of it to accomplish great things for God. The contempt of the day of small things. But secondly, let us come to the challenge of the day of small things. The words of the text amount to a challenge to the people to press on in the work of the Lord. Their hands were not to be slack. They were to be filled with labor and earnest endeavor. You see, it was not the will of God that these returned exiles sit down amid the ruins and despair of ever accomplishing anything. God did not intend them to be bowled over by the taunts and the jeers of the Sanballats and the Tobias. No, these are words of challenge, acting as a goad to spur them on. In the day of small things, there should be dissatisfaction that it is so. You and I should not be satisfied with the day of small things in our own spiritual experience. The pilgrims on the way to Zion are pictured for us in Psalm 84 and the verse 7. They go from strength to strength. They go from virtue to virtue until they are changed from glory to glory, till at last every one of them appears in Zion before God. They go from strength to strength. There's progress. There's a going on with God. In Philippians chapter 3, the mighty apostle Paul, in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." He is saying, "I do not reckon that I have arrived at the pinnacle of all spiritual attainment." He says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." There is a striving to go on. The man climbing the ladder, he uses each rung that he puts his foot on to reach an even greater height. And what you have learned of the Savior, use it to learn more. Do not be satisfied with a little knowledge of him. May your constant prayer and mine be that I might know him. Oh, may that consume us, that desire consume us. We ought not to be satisfied as a congregation with present attainments, with the day of small things. It's a challenge to seek more ground for Christ. We must not fall under the reproof of those in Joshua's day. In Joshua chapter 18 and verse 3, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you?" What we're seeing is slackness on behalf of the Israelites of old. The possessing of the land of Canaan was not even half done. 7 tribes had still to receive their inheritance. But here's a people happy with what has been achieved to date. They're slack. They're settled at Shiloh. They are not exerting themselves to fresh efforts to take the land for God. And how dissatisfied we should be, yearning that the glorious gospel will reach many more hearts for Jesus Christ. Praying like Jabez in the words of 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. He prayed for the enlarging of his coast. Moses prayed in Psalm 19, verse 17, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us." Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Oh, there should be dissatisfaction in the day of small things that it is so. There should not only be dissatisfaction, it should also awaken diligence. The parable of the talents teaches diligence in the day of small things, and that diligence leads to greater things. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 22 and 3, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Do you see the picture here? The man had just 2 talents. He did not have 5 like his neighbor. He might have said, "I might as well sit down and rest. It's not worth my while exerting myself. I've only got 2, not 5 talents." He was diligent in the day of small things and was made ruler over many things. Though it may be the day of small things in the work of God, on that account, let us redouble our efforts, labor all the more, seeking the advancement of the Lord's cause. Compelled by the spirit of John the Baptist, when he said, "The Lord must increase, I must decrease." The contempt for the day of small things, the challenge of it. But lastly, we come to the comfort in the day of small things. There's much comfort in this text for the builders of the spiritual temple. Do you notice, as we read into verse 10, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. What are we seeing here? Zerubbabel, he has the plumb line in his hand, and he's giving the building the final inspection. It's finished. It's complete. The day of small things has become the day of great things. The work today to us seems to make such slow progress. Hearts are hard. The enemies of the cross seem to triumph. Though all of that is so, God, whose eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him, he will bring the work of his gospel to a glorious conclusion. The church which the Lord loved and gave himself for will be built. The day of small things will become the day of great things. God can make the latter end to greatly increase. The grain of mustard seed will become a great tree. It's the grain of mustard seed. You can hardly perceive it in the palm of your hand. It's so tiny, so small. But the Bible teaches that it becomes a great tree. The birds of the air lodge in its branches. You and I do not despise the light of the morning, the early morning. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. The difficulties faced by these returning exiles, do you know what they were like, the difficulties? The verse 7 tells us, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" The difficulties they faced in this rebuilding work was like mountains. But the Lord promises in verse 7, "Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, the finishing stone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." In Isaiah chapter 41, the people of Israel, Jacob's people, they are mentioned in these words, Isaiah 41, verses 14 and 15. Fear not thou worm Jacob. Is there anything so insignificant, so despised, so weak as a worm? And this is how the Lord speaks of his people. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. What a wonderful promise. None can resist the Lord. He can do great things through the remnant, through his people. His promise is sure. And in Isaiah 40 and verses 4 and 5, we read of every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And as Mr. Beckhurst comes here with the word of God, may the mountains be made low, may the crooked places be made straight, and the rough plain, and the glory of the Lord be revealed. So let the weak hands be strong, the faint-hearted take fresh courage. The temple of the Lord will be built, and the headstone will be brought forth, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." Let us continue in the Lord's work, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Perhaps there's someone here and you have despised the day of gospel opportunity. The Lord to you is like the stone which the builders refused and set it not. In your heart there is no place for Jesus Christ. Oh, you cannot be right with God while you reject Christ, the chief cornerstone. This morning, come to Him who is the rock of salvation. Hide in His wounds. Shelter under His blood. Break off with your sin. Repent of it and receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. May the words of Acts chapter 13 and verse 41 never ring in your ears. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. None need perish, for Christ has died. He's the mighty to save. May you today flee for refuge under the precious blood of the Lamb. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Our gracious, loving Father, we do know that Thou art mindful of us, and we thank Thee for the word that Thou hast given to us. Thou dost speak to us from Thy truth, and we have heard a word for our times, the difficulties that we face in the work of the gospel. O Lord, in this unbelieving, atheistic, evolutionary age, we thank Thee that we have Thy word. And as David encouraged himself, strengthened himself in the Lord his God, so can we. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt strengthen us with might in the inner man, so that our hearts will be full of zeal, and Thou wilt enable us to be eaten up with the zeal of Thy house, of Thy work. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt take up we worms of a fallen race and help us to be Thine ambassadors. Help us to be Thy faithful servants. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt honor Thy word as it goes forth from this house in times to come, And we pray, O God, that there will be living stones added to the church. There will be those whose names will be written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life through the preaching of the everlasting gospel. So, Lord, bless thy word to us and build us up and help us to go away looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord who has said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." And we pray that here in the midst, thou wilt do a new thing, and glory and honor will be brought to thy great name. Lord, any that are still without thee, we pray that they will behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, may they close in with the offer of thy mercy. So part us with thy blessing. Be with us in our homes this day, and bless in the evening time. May there be not only the sowing, may there be the reaping and the rejoicing and the glorifying of our Redeemer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.